Good morning. Today we conclude our series of meditations from John's Gospel. This morning our focus is on John chapter 7 verses 1 through to 13. Last week we paid attention to the fact that Judas Iscariot spent 3 years with Jesus listening to the most spiritual of teachings, witnessing great miracles performed by Jesus, but yet in the final analysis he was not into Jesus. He was in the presence of Jesus, but yet he was not a follower of Jesus. He died far from God. John 7 begins with a conversation between Jesus and his brothers. These brothers would have grown up under the same roof as the Lord Jesus. They had a vantage point to Jesus' personal piety from his early years. They must have known that he was destined to be Israel's Messiah. Yet we are told in verse 5, for even his brothers did not believe in him. If anything can prove the depravity of the human heart, it is this. They had been in proximity to the most godly person who walked on the earth. The brothers had spent their entire lives in close proximity to Jesus Christ. Yet they did not believe in him. Yet they chose not to be his disciples. Yet they chose not to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. This goes to show that a man may witness the most stupendous marvels, may hear the most spiritual teaching, may keep company with the godliest of people, and yet he himself remain a non-Christian. These brothers, as portrayed in John's Gospel, had missed the significance of why the Savior came into the world. But by the time of Christ's resurrection and ascension, as recorded in Acts chapter 1, these brothers had become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here in John's Gospel, they were not yet followers of Christ. These brothers would have been the sons that Mary bore to her husband Joseph after the virgin birth of Christ. Matthew 13 verse 55 lists Jesus' brothers as James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. James is believed to have become the leader of the Jerusalem church and the author of the New Testament book of James, while the youngest son, Judas, is not to be confused with Judas Iscariot. Rather, this Judas was also known as Jude and was the author of the New Testament book that bears that name. Our reading this morning is from John chapter 7, 1 through to 9. John 7 represents the midpoint of the last year of Jesus' public ministry. This is how it reads. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. Then Jesus said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. When he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. So from the passage we learn that some Jewish religious leaders wanted to kill Jesus, yet Jesus enjoyed popularity with the ordinary people. Some of the ordinary people wanted to take him by force and make him the ruler over Israel. The brothers' unbelief is thinly veiled in the advice they offered. It is the kind of advice that believers often endure from worldly family members. Jesus' brothers said to him, leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples also may see the works you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. There is worldliness in the advice these brothers gave to Jesus. Their advice was, promote yourself, Go to where the action is and make a splash. They were saying, pursue your own glory. Big up yourself. They thought that if Jesus wanted to impress the large crowds and encourage his supporters in Judea, he needed to display his miracle-working power at the Feast of Tabernacles, which was a harvest festival. Jesus' unbelieving brothers were prescribing worldly and carnal methods to do spiritual work. This advice is somewhat similar to what Satan said to Jesus when he was in the wilderness, as recorded in Matthew chapter 4. Satan tried to tempt Jesus to use his divine power for self-serving ends without thought for obedience to God. Jesus answered Satan, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Jesus was not about to follow his unbelieving brothers' advice. At this point in John's gospel, it is believed that Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, had died. And apart from his mother, Mary, it seems Jesus had no followers in his immediate family. So, during this season of his life, when he would encounter many conflicts with the establishment, he could not enjoy the spiritual fellowship of close family members, but had to endure their unspiritual advice. That is a hard place for a follower of Christ to be. It is hard when you are the only person in your family serving Jesus. It is hard when you are the only person in your family seeking to live for Jesus. But take heart. Jesus has grace sufficient for you. Jesus' response to the bad advice of his brothers was cordial and patient. Jesus said, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always here." His brothers wanted Jesus to manifest himself publicly in glory, but Jesus knew that it was not yet the right time or occasion for his exaltation and glorification. While his brothers wanted Jesus to promote himself at the Feast of Tabernacles, it was instead at the Feast of the Passover that Jesus intended to be lifted up before men, not in glory, but in the suffering of his cross. Christ's brothers were in effect advising him to put on the crown without first taking up the cross. Jesus was instead teaching his brothers that suffering must come before glory. The cross must come before the crown. Oftentimes, as Christians, we are tempted to think that one can bypass the suffering to get to glory. Oftentimes, we as Christians think that we can get our heavenly crowns without bearing our earthly crosses. Christians should be grateful that Jesus ignored his brothers' advice. Jesus in turn said to his brothers, "You go up to the feast. I am not going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come." When they left, he, Jesus, remained in Galilee. But then verse 10 tells us that after his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he, Jesus, also went up to the feast, not publicly, but in private. Some people see here a conflict between Jesus' words and his actions. But John explains that Jesus was only unwilling to go to this feast openly in pursuit of glory. As a Jew, Jesus had a duty to appear in Jerusalem for this event. But he did not go up feasting as one who was brought in the harvest. Instead, he went up secretly as the one who was preparing to bear his cross for the sins of the world. There is a good lesson for us in the way in which Jesus avoided unnecessary danger. Many Christians struggle with the challenge of remaining faithful to God while prudently avoiding trouble. Jesus provides us with an example, fulfilling his duty to God by appearing at the Feast of Tabernacles, but doing so discreetly so as to avoid the Jewish leaders who were seeking his life. Like Jesus, Christians must be faithful to God, fulfilling our duties even in the face of danger. We must serve Christ without compromising in our obedience to him, while at the same time we should be prudent in avoiding trouble. Some Christians run headlong into trouble. Some Christians fish for opportunities to run headlong into trouble. That was not the example of Christ. Christ urged his followers in Matthew 10, verse 16, to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Like Jesus, Christians must also be aware of the times in which we live. We must be prudent. Jesus did not prematurely seek to enjoy the glory symbolized by the Feast of Tabernacles. His was the time of the Passover sacrifice. So what, you may ask, is our time? The answer is found in John 4, verse 35. Jesus speaking said, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." God has called us Christians to the harvest fields. The time is short, the harvest is great, and the workers are few. As Jesus consecrated himself to the cross, let us be devoted to preaching the gospel, living holy lives before the world, and sharing the good news of salvation with every opportunity that God gives us. To my listeners who are not Christians, today is a good day to surrender your life to Jesus Christ and to receive his forgiveness for your sins. In other words, today is a good day to repent. As we today conclude our series of meditations from John's Gospel, I want to thank you for tuning in for the months of May and June. May the Lord continue to bless you greatly.